Hey there, Skips and Skipperettes, and welcome back to Tales from the Jungle Cruise. Before we dig into this episode, taped in October, we have some big news for us. And I guess for you. Okay, you can have some of the good news. We're on Stitcher Radio now. You can listen to the Tales from the Jungle Cruise on the Stitcher app or on their webpage at stitcher.com. Lots of exciting details coming as soon as I figure out how to use their interface, but we're live now. Go listen to us, which you may already be doing. Also, we've got three more episodes already in the can, so we're going to be updating at least twice this December. We're quite excited at that fact. So how to reach us? Check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/junglecruise, C-R-E-W-S, or just make sure you have a pen and paper at the end of this episode because we talk about the dozens of ways to get in touch with us. You know, we also made a guest appearance over at the Sweep Spot, S-W-E-E-P-S-P-O-T podcast with Lynn and Laura. You should check that out. We had a great time twice. It's a long story, never mind. Now, this episode features one of our favorite skips, Skipper Josh. Josh was a contemporary of mine at Jungle, and we're kind of photo nerds together. Also, Skipper Jay Sabaker returns, as well as the fantastic skippers Joey and Trevor from Joey and Trevor Talk to Each Other, also available on the Skipcast Network. So, with much ado of many varieties, we present Season 2, Episode 7, The Fiancé in the Background. Welcome back, everyone, to Tales from the Jungle Cruise, Episode 7 of Season 2. We're taking the second half of our time welcoming back to our podcast the lovely Joey and Trevor from the podcast Joey and Trevor Mow Your Lawn for $8.99, which is, I think, one of the best podcasts about lawn maintenance.
It's really a good deal when you think about it.
We're in the Penny Saver, but it should be really called Dollar Saver because we're saving you
dollars.
Money. Dollars, at least.
Absolutely. Joining us, Josh, you're going to join us officially, or are you just going to hang out? Skipper Josh, last name reserved, just kind of mention some of his stories.
Out of respect for his family.
returning to the Jay, are you returning to the podcast? Yeah. Since you've been, Skipper Jay is returning to the podcast, and we've got a couple guests in the background, as we call them, who are to remain nameless, and just because they're current employees, we don't want to piss anyone off, so... Josh, welcome. I'm trying to get you on the podcast for quite some time. Definitely squeeze in a little bit, guys, because I like that kind of contact.
Five guys around a pole.
Hello. Wait, hold on.
It's like college.
I got both sides.
May I ask the first
best moment ever?
May I ask the first inappropriate question of the podcast?
Yes. You know, it's funny. I actually think you may have asked the first inappropriate question of the podcast before the podcast started. This is merely an echo in time, because that's how inappropriate you are. Mm-hmm. Okay, just that's you're paying it forward as it as
is,
it said.
Is that a Masonic ring?
It is not a Masonic
ring.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is that
it's a sentimental, boring family story that will get cut from the podcast.
Okay,
got it. Belonged to my great-grandfather. Those are his initials. M.P. Oh. Nathan Plotnitsky, good Jewish name.
That is.
And, Mickey's face to the last episode.
Okay. So, the next question, we've got, is that balsamic vinegar
that you're drinking?
That you're drinking.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
A good cup of balsamic is always lovely.
I always wanted to make Masonic rings for the jungle, because I always likened the Jungle Cruise to, like, the Illuminati, but just funnier, and without better jobs.
Yes.
Once you left.
Right.
It
no
really
connections.
Is. Yeah.
No, the Illuminati really has a much better retirement plan.
They really
right.
do.
You know, and I have thrown this out before that we should investigate a fraternal order. Because you have the Elks Lodge.
Yeah.
You have the Moose Lodge. You have what are some of the there's other ones.
Sure.
I think we should have a fraternal
Travel
order
Lodge.
of the hippos.
Travel Lodge.
Travel Lodge.
That's a good one.
Yes.
Very loose in their restrictions to join the Travel Lodge.
You pay a nightly membership fee of $50 or $60, yeah. And usually it's located by train tracks, freeways, or hookers.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. It's a little sleeping cap on a bear.
Yeah.
Roger Lodge.
Roger Lodge. See, Josh, that's what I like about you is it's the subtlety. It's the slow.
We never saw that coming.
Yeah, no, that was out of left field. But I think the order of the hippos. Yeah. And here's the reason why I think we should do this. It's the other lodges, you can buy into their health care program. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of Jungle Cruise skippers who have no insurance.
Yeah, that's 95%.
Yeah, and or no current jobs that are not benefiting from stimulus.
Now, is that cause and effect, or is it just coincidence?
Kyle, you know us. Would you insure any one of us?
Hire any of us.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that I'd hire any of you. So.
It really depends on pre-existing conditions.
The condition was that you were a Jungle Cruise skipper. That's the pre-existing condition they're not going to allow.
Right.
So, but no, I think that would be fun. We could have a hall of some sort somewhere. You know, there were a couple skippers back in our era who we actually were investigating. There's a bar down the road called Captain Bombay's. You guys remember Captain Bombay's?
I've seen the Yelp Euclid, review. It sounds like a magical
it was
place.
Euclid and Catella. And we actually were trying to buy it so to turn it into a Jungle Cruise theme.
Oh, wow.
And we actually had talked to the owners and all those things, and nothing ever happened with it. But I would have loved to have a Jungle Cruise skipper bar hangout, because we drink a lot. What's that?
I said, you know what's funny?
What's funny?
There's this place called Trader Sam's.
There's this place called Trader Sam's. Yeah. See, the problem is you're feeding money back into the system.
I don't like the property
there.
It's located on.
Yeah, that's the location.
They cut you off pretty fast.
Right. There's no discount on the booze.
Yeah, no, it's location, location, location.
Have you talked about that on any other podcast where the brotherhood of and sisterhood of skippers, you feel like you were in a war with these people, you're forever connected to. If you meet another skipper, it's not like another person. Oh, you worked space. Yeah. Oh, that's pretty cool. You worked space as well.
Yeah.
You were a skipper. Oh my gosh, it changes
there
everything.
Really is that fraternal.
Yeah.
Kind of
thing. Yeah. And why? I don't know. I mean, it's not just
when you meet other skippers. It's when you meet other Disney employees that the respect you get is totally unearned. But they give it to you because,
right.
Believe me, I've done my job. And
how many other Disney land employee positions have a name? Skipper.
Yeah, I attractions it maybe. Well, I mean, yeah, miners at Big Thunder.
Pilot.
Yeah, I mean,
does
I
it
think,
say
I think
it on
all
there?
Do.
Is it the end?
Does it say it on there?
The training thing. I think they all have it because it's part of the training process.
Sure.
But I think the skipper one is
it's stuck
and it's been around for so long. I guess on the trains they've got the whole, you know.
Conductors, yes.
I wanted, you know, they wanted me to work trains, but only part-time, and I just didn't want to be a semiconductor.
Mm. Oh, my gosh.
I don't understand.
I was like, which one of you did that?
Both.
Wow.
Oh. Because the slapping on the rear end, that's one of the perks of owning a podcast empire. But, yeah, no, I think that the skipper legacy, the thing that we do, well, first of all, obviously 60,000 people have downloaded a stupid set of podcasts to hear more about what it is that we do, so there must be some cachet of some sort to the lifestyle.
Yeah,
I actually think that the skippers in the 60s and 60s when they got the like the lofts, and you know, I see it as a much more Mad Men kind of a thing happening at the time.
You know, it's funny you bring that up.
Bring it in a little bit, because I think you're a little out of it.
New to podcasting. It's funny you bring that up. A few years ago, I was, not to give anything away, but I was writing a story about something jungle related. I'm a newspaper reporter.
Oh, I thought you wrote slash fiction.
Anyway, I wanted to talk to people who had been successful and were also skippers.
And very few and far between.
I know, right?
It's a very niche group.
I know, right?
That's why I'm trying to get Lasseter on the podcast. I think the genie got out of the damn bottle with him, and he would not put it back
successful,
in.
Successful would not return my calls. But I wound up talking to a guy named Sandy Quinn. He's in charge of the Nixon Library.
Yeah,
Nixon's press secretary.
Yep, yep.
I was going to say medicine woman.
Ron
Ziegler.
Ron Ziegler
was
a skipper. Was a skipper.
And both Sandy Quinn was Ron Ziegler's roommate in college. And based on the stories he was sharing with me, the culture was almost identical.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm in the middle of, I have a friend, the earpiece is killing me, I have a friend who is a personal trainer for a skipper who was there in the 60s, and I'm trying to get him to be the next guest on the podcast. Yeah. But, you know, there are a few. I spoke briefly with the people who represent Kevin Costner, and they basically gave me the short story, which is there's no benefit for Mr. Costner to address that part of his life.
That's the same story I got when I made that phone call.
So it was kind of, but he was Jungle Cruise.
But what
skipper.
Has he been in?
I don't know.
What has he been in lately that would, like, hurt his career for talking about Jungle
well,
Cruise?
Well, I don't think it's a matter of hurting.
He's going
it's...
for Finding Nemo 2.
Right.
And he doesn't want to ruin those chances.
Let's ruin the chances of you getting Kevin Costner right now on the podcast. That's basically what we're trying to do.
Actually, I'm sorry. Have you heard the last 24 episodes of the podcast?
That's true.
I think that's ruined the chances of me getting anyone on the podcast.
But none was worse than The Postman, so it's...
No, you know what? And I got to say, though, that... this isn't quite like Cars level anger for me.
But Waterworld anger?
No, it may be Waterworld. The Postman.
Wait, you saw it?
No, one of the best books. The book that the movie The Postman with Kevin Costner was based on was stellar.
Yeah.
And they raped that thing. It was.
Well, his acting was better in the book.
Yeah, his acting was much better in the book. His dialogue seemed a little more crisp and believable
more
than
animated.
It was on paper, yeah. But yeah, no, I think, I'm sure, well, let's talk to the people we know and kiss their ass so they come on the podcast. If you guys have seen the TV show Psych on the USA Network.
I love Psych.
It is an amazing show. The creators of the show, Jungle Cruise guys, and there are bazillions of Jungle Cruise references that are smattered through that show.
And the band that does the theme song, Jungle Cruise
the
band.
The Lonely Indians?
Yeah.
Friendly Indians.
So, gotta say goodbye to our...
Bye.
Anyway,
Friendly Indians.
Friendly Indians.
Band.
Also, Jungle Cruise people. So we're working on getting some of those guys on the podcast at some point soon. So, I mean, there are people, you know, who have Jungle Cruise ties, which I would have loved the Jungle Cruise tie. That would have been
Jungle Cruise ties.
But yeah, I mean, and I'm sure that there are tons of other people who have had successful. Lives. Chris Lamberth, who was on the podcast with us about 6 months ago, very, you know, big on like advertising and architecture and things like that.
And
so.
He was the Highlander.
He was the Highlander. Oh, I don't think that was him because I think I think there can be only one.
Oh, okay,
right, with that name.
Right.
So, as my head went totally off track about those things. You guys talk for a second. I'm trying to remember where my head was at. I was going to talk about Jungle Cruise movie. Oh, you know, I'm going to go totally off topic before I forget about this.
All right.
Have you guys heard, you know, they did the Battleship movie?
Yeah.
And then they have other properties. Have you heard that they're making a Hungry Hungry Hippos feature film?
Yeah.
Is there any way that doesn't sound painful?
No.
No.
I think it's going to be amazing.
Couldn't be any worse than the Oogie Loves.
What?
Nope. It was that good a movie.
Yeah, it was the lowest opening release in all history.
Was that recent?
Oh, yeah, like 3-4 months ago.
No.
Oh, yeah. It was the biggest bomb in box office history.
Who was in it?
It's a preschool kind of...
Barney-esque.
Barney-esque, yeah. If you were watching something that it looks like it should have been on the Disney Channel, but it wasn't, was that movie. And giant bomb.
In theaters.
The Oogie Loves, which quite honestly sounds like a conviction report for someone who is
a porn star.
Have you committed Oogie Love any time in the last...
Your Honor, he Oogie Loved on at least 12 kids.
Show us where he touched you. Wait, on a doll? Wait, we have a doll?
Touched me right in the Oogie Love.
I mean, one of their actual characters, they have a vacuum cleaner as a character.
Okay.
Seriously?
Yeah, it sucks.
So it's the Friendly Toaster.
Oh,
the Brave Little Toaster.
Brave Little Toaster was a quality movie that they're also remaking.
The Brave Little Toaster, they're remaking it?
They're remaking it, and they're going to bastardize something else in my childhood.
The Brave Little Toaster, I will say, scarred me from using a vacuum for the rest of my life. You remember that scene where the vacuum goes over his cord and loses his mind because he's, like, eating himself?
I don't remember that.
You don't remember that? Oh, my God, I couldn't use a vacuum for, like, a decade.
And he had the voice of Thurl Ravenscroft.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will say that one of my favorite things about that movie is John Lovitz as the radio.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Lovitz. I mean, if I ever meet Lovitz at any point, that will be the two things I will talk about are that movie and The Critic.
Well, he's at the corner of Hollywood and Highland.
He is, and he has his own podcast theater and does quite well with his podcasts.
He's here right now. Hello, I'm John Lovitz.
John Lovitz.
I'm talking in a microphone.
John Lovitz Impersonation Theater.
Penguins can't fly. That was a great show, man.
Yeah.
The Critic.
The Critic was fantastic. They did web episodes afterwards, too. Mm-hmm. He outed Pikachu.
Huh?
Oh, there was an entire episode with The Critic. I'm going off into tangents here, but he actually outs Pikachu as being gay.
Really?
Yeah. Check it on YouTube. Okay. They're out there. So, no, The Critic is one of those shows. The Critic doesn't hold up from the culture references.
Right.
The Critic is like how Family Guy will be in 10 years.
Right.
Where you'll watch an episode and you'll think it's funny, but like, you won't know why.
Oh, yeah, Bill Clinton.
Which is exactly like when I watch an episode now.
Right.
Is I think it's funny, but I don't know why.
Right.
You know, Cleveland Show and American Dad are in their fourth seasons.
Oh, good.
Thanks for making my day better. How has that happened?
How?
Well, other than Seth MacFarlane is a brilliant, you know, marketing guy, but...
Was he a skipper?
Was he a skipper? You know, I wouldn't have been surprised.
We all need to kiss his ass.
He worked story.
Yeah,
true.
Oh. I'll be happy to have him come on the show anytime.
Skipper or not.
Actually, you know, in general, if you're a celebrity fan of the Jungle Cruise and just want to come on and talk about your favorite experiences or what you had for breakfast,
yeah.
Or, you
especially
know,
if you're Sam Jackson.
You know who I would like to hear interviewed? Dougie Doug.
Yes.
There you go, Joey. Saddle up. You're up.
No more impressions.
No more impressions tonight.
And mic drop.
Yeah. And the name badge.
I'm right here, Josh. Waiting for you to talk to me, man. Spill your heart out to me, man.
So here's a question. Oh, our cats are back. If you were part of the last episode, you'll hear about the three-way cat fight that happened directly outside our taping.
When you stand still long enough in Disneyland or on the property,
you will see a feral cat.
Come to you. Yeah.
Because they think you might have food.
Ham.
Ham.
So let's talk about voices. Because, Joey, you have quite a repertoire of your vocal talents.
Yeah.
I would compare you... to like
don't say Robin Williams, I'll
a
kill
second
you.
Like a second rate Billy West.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah,
like
not quite in the same category.
Not even close to Billy West,
but just you know on that tier where you know there's that spirit.
The spirit of Billy West.
So here's the question, guys.
He died. He went into me and gave me a little bit of.
Yeah, are you saying he's dead?
No, he's not. But if
you
he
killed
did.
Him and
no.
ate his heart, you
no.
bastard.
No, I did not.
Okay, so have you done the Jungle Cruise in voices? Have you ever?
Oh yeah.
What was, I mean...
Before Borat came out, Sacha Baron Cohen's Borat character, I did a Eastern European guy tour, and it went over pretty well. It was like...
That tour had the best ending.
The
ever heard,
one?
Yeah,
that's my Italian guy.
That's the Italian.
I did an Italian man, and he would say, "Thank you for listening to my speech. Please to be giving me the clap. Giving me the clap. Giving me the clap.
Ah, you all give me the clap.
You give me the clap.
Oh, that's
and
so
little. I had a couple. What are they called?
Fake name badges.
No, Freudian slips. I was gonna say illegal paperwork. I had some Freudian slips once where. Two jungle skippers were at unload, and...
And that's why there's a net.
I do the dock joke where you say, hey, look on the dock, there's two skippers, and they're now part of a boy band. And you try to get the unload skippers to dance or sing or something. And I said, they're in a new boy band, here's their next song that they sing. And it was called The Bamboo. And it was like, girl... You make my bamboo grow, but only at night. Because in my mind, I was just thinking about the fact that bamboo only grows at night. I had no idea that it meant anything other than that. And that got a good response.
That's why things go through legal.
Exactly. That's why we don't ad-lib, children.
If you're listening now... And you don't want to be on this podcast ever
because you're
gainfully employed,
mm-hmm.
then don't ad-lib.
I never did voices.
Top 10 jokes
I mimed once.
Yeah. You did a mime?
The whole thing in mime. was went like this.
This plays well.
Yeah. This is podcast.
You did the you lasted the whole
podcast way? Glory.
You did it the whole time.
It required
a little energy.
No.
Yeah.
Did they like it?
But they're stereotyping. Did you feel like you were? Did you feel like you were kind of trapped inside of a box of your own creation?
Hi-oh.
With this? Did you feel like?
Well, it was quiet when we got back to the dock, which I thought they were playing along.
That's funny. I had so many boats that were also quiet for long stretches
of
time.
The mind trip. We'll
usually
call it that.
The high concept tours are not the ones that go so well.
Right. The ones where you have to think about. Oh, wow! He went to Juilliard so that he could learn how to do this trip. Let's see. Did I do a high concept?
I did a Muppet one. Did I talk about that one?
The Menomina one?
Where I was literally, I took two coat hangers from the tiki room, and I unraveled them and tied them around my wrists, and I had a skipper doing the voice, and I had a skipper doing my arms, and we got out the dock, and there was like nervous laughter at the start. And then once you get about 30 seconds in and you realize, oh, this guy's not going to stop doing this for the next 10 minutes, then it's pretty quiet for the rest of the tour.
Panic sets in, yes. And then you kind of go, I'm just going to go with it.
I'm just going to allow this.
Yeah.
Oh, and Kyle has the camera, which means the no-name thing just...
Yeah, that just flew out the window.
Unless you're not in that shot.
You'll be blurred.
It'll be mosaic. Right.
Yeah, actually, I probably should just focus on all the people who are not... currently employed.
It'll be Google.
I did a Mad Hatter tour once.
Yeah. Uh-huh, yeah.
That didn't go so well.
No.
That actually got a guest complaint.
Oh, because you were too silly.
Apparently they didn't like the Mad Hatter voice.
Hmm.
What is your Mad Hatter voice, Trevor?
It's not good.
Yeah, it is. No, it's really good.
Ah! Yes! The Mad Hatter!
See, it's not very good. But it's loud enough that everyone can hear it.
Yeah, I had an experience.
I used
like
to do that on the Disney shuttle.
Yeah.
We detailed that in that episode we did.
I tried to do a ring announcer once, and that did not go over well.
Like, let's get ready to rumble.
Yes. Well, maybe not quite so loud, but
sure. Ladies and gentlemen, the ring.
In that very same cadence.
Okay.
And yeah, they said they did not understand a single word I said.
Just go for the Howard Cosell voice.
Yes. Yeah.
Wait, if you
ladies and gentlemen, as we head out into the jungle today, we will see some animals that you've never seen before. There's a critter right there. It floats like a butterfly. It stings like a bee. It'll poison you for 8 to 12 days before you die, and your organs will rot out. So you could pull that off. You could do that Cosell-esque.
Yeah.
Kind
the
of voice.
The thing is, when people, unless you know who's on your boat,
yeah,
like you know that there's APs or you know there's other skippers on your boat, the average boat going customer doesn't know that this is your 35th trip for the day. They think it's your first trip because it's their first trip. So they're not going to get some kind of subtle joke like that. It's not going to entertain them unless they know the context.
It's got to be fresh. I mean, that's really one of
the
jungle rules. It's got to be fresh for everyone, but it's also got to be at any time. They've got to step into it. It's kind of the sitcom thing where at the end of your episode, everything has to go back to the way it was.
Sure.
And everything has to be resolved in that way.
Yeah.
But for us, and you know, we've said this a million times, there's two reasons why skippers get in trouble. And one of them is that they're trying to entertain themselves.
Yeah.
And the second is that they're trying to entertain all the other skippers.
Yeah.
Because that really is the punch of it is, you know, are you out there? Because entertaining the guests is great, but
you're not going to last.
You're not going to last. And so you've got to have that release valve. And occasionally, depending on the climate of the jungle, as far as the joke climate, you're going to put your foot in your mouth at some point and say something stupid.
Sure.
And really, I always saw the job of the leads was to take your stupidity, which was going to happen, and channel it so that you were stupid in an acceptable manner. You know, and have the things like, you know, it's fine. We went almost a full year. We had just last episode talked about the penny bucket.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, where there was the bucket that was up on the middle of the piers, and you would throw pennies when there were
from
no guests. And you know, then guests would get into it, and it would be like a storm of copper coming down.
Yeah.
But there's things like that that were little, like, subtle release valves that were there on the dock to keep you from being
I don't know how any manager or any league could expect to put someone in that kind of situation and expect you to stand still and not do anything silly. Don't let me walk around and have a hat on and look crazy and then scold me for being silly,
right,
or being talking too much. You can't give me that kind of,
because
it's like handing me a gun and saying,
it's
don't
a high,
shoot
it's
it.
A
I'm
high,
shoot it.
It's a high-stress situation. We're kind of trapped there. We're prisoners. It's like we're John McCain with jokes.
Uh-huh.
You know, if we're going to be prisoners of war, that's a really terrible analogy, isn't it?
That was a weird one.
And people
topical.
Are topical.
Won't be funny in 10 years. So
yeah. Well, welcome back for that 4 years ago election we just had. You're kind of in a place where you have to stretch the boundaries of your creativity in ways that are acceptable. And the leads are there to push you in the right direction and make sure that you... can channel that. And, there's great things that come out of creativity. Very few of those happen when my mouth is opened. there's that point when my mouth opens and creativity's not a good thing.
Yeah.
It's better when I stick to the script. And that really is the way it is with most skippers.
Yeah.
I think leaders in the area understand that specifically.
That's why Adventureland has turnover.
But as long as you can keep your shenanigans within the theme of the jungle,
yeah.
So you look like an
There's
idiot,
a lot of
but
leeway,
you fit in. It's okay.
Yeah. No, and I've always said that the be within the spirit of the ride,
right?
And don't because here's the thing: we've done 20 plus episodes of this, and people have heard every bad story possible.
Yeah.
Kids, if there's a piece of advice I can give you, it's stick to the freaking OG
and take pictures.
That's the biggest one. No, Yeah, I'll go on the take pictures thing toward
the
end.
Don't go out with the loose girl into the
deadhead.
Also, is another good
advice.
Good bit of advice if you're working the jungle.
Well, unless you're close to your date when you're leaving the ride, don't do it early in the attraction time, because then that just follows you around.
Yeah, last day prank.
Last day prank.
Would be go out in the jungle.
I dated last day prank. She was nice.
Susie last day prank.
Uh-huh. That was the weirdest last name ever. Last day prank.
Yeah.
She's Polish. So.
I just gotta say.
That's the hard thing is my brain goes into the mode where I already am thinking of what gets edited out.
Right.
I definitely think that the stress of doing it over and over and over again, that's where you have to have those good release valves. And I think we've all said or done things that in hindsight are like, wow, that was freaking stupid.
That was really dumb, yeah.
Yeah.
I did a tap dance routine on the dock and had a cane and a hat. Mm-hmm. And the cane mysteriously left my hand and flew into the face of a guest.
Oh.
And she laughed and laughed because she thought I was being really funny. Because it was still funny, I could have been really, really in trouble.
Our release valves, at least the summer I was there, were still inappropriate, though, because it was throwing water in each other's faces when guests were in the boat and hitting each other with the air horn upside down so it would freeze your leg.
Yep.
It's not like we got away with them.
No.
I think we just did them and no one said anything.
It was too large of a group doing it at the same time.
What
are you going to fire all of us from the Jungle Cruise?
Right.
And they eventually did.
Right,
but
not at once. It took a couple of years.
So what's... let's talk good pranks. I think that there were definitely some good stories on the prank side, and then I've got a couple of things I want to, since a couple of our skippers here are first time on the podcast, we get to ask some great questions.
Good
some
memories.
But I think one of my favorite awful, terrible, horrible things that was done was someone had re-queued the entirety of the upstairs area, which leads over to the Indiana Jones ride, and put a group of about 80 Asian tourists up the stairs.
Boy.
And they had it circling and tying back into itself. And at some point, they all exited out to the Indiana Jones queue down the stairs.
Yeah.
And I will tell you that it was a very confused Japanese tour group trying to figure out why that was a ride.
Yeah. They paid good money for that.
Paid good money to wander around in a queue. And
I have no recollection.
That's like 6,000.
You have no recollection of that, Josh? Is that, you have no clue how that could have happened? What,
He knows nothing.
Now, one of the things, we didn't do our regular intro with Skipper Josh. I know for a fact that you had great experiences all around the park, that you worked at the monorail.
I was there for a week short of 6 years. Moved around the park quite a bit.
Yep. And, that's how monorails work. If they stayed in the same place all the time.
Then steam trains? Yeah, sure.
Those also move.
Now, I'm sure we've talked about this before, but can the monorail really get up to like 60 miles an hour, like they say?
If you take the governor off and you have a really long stretch of straightaway, sure.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What if I pushed a DeLorean at the front? Right. Could I go to 88?
You betcha.
It's got to get harder than tarnation in the boiler of the monorail for it to get that fast.
No, I was there for a week short of 6 years. I started on a submarine voyage. Actually drove the last submarine on the last day of operation before they...
Really? So it was your fault?
No.
It was going to happen no matter what.
Yeah.
I thought
that was not the deciding factor.
No.
Did you ever crash a submarine?
Or bump?
We all bumped. Yeah.
Okay. Everybody bumps.
So very good.
Everybody bumps. Sometimes.
There was never any damage or injuries that anybody reported.
We got a helicopter going over the top. Local news.
Live to tell the tale.
Local news coverage. Here's of invasive podcasting happening. Police respond at the Disneyland Resort. Old time newsy voice is used for no reason. Film cutters strike, slides at 11.
Spinning paper injures viewer.
So anyway, after a summary voyage, they put me on the Matterhorn. That small world.
Wait, did they have you working it, or did they just put you on the Matterhorn?
Take you to a shuttle.
You broke the ride. We got to shut it down now. We're putting you up on the Matterhorn.
I learned something important. My first summer at Disney.
That you're afraid of heights.
never declare what you will never work.
Got it.
Because I remember sitting there at the in-between employee diner and watching these guys walk by in lederhosen.
Yeah.
In bright red pants. All right, I will never work the Matterhorn. Then the Matilda hats. I will never work Small World. My next ride was the Matterhorn. After that, Small World.
Somebody heard you.
Yes.
There's eyes in the sky. What are they called? Ears in the walls?
Helicopters.
Yeah, those things.
They're called God, Joey.
God really.
I remember being at the in-between when we were all getting cross-trained on stuff, and one of our jungle friends, Allison, was getting trained on It's a Small World. And her trainer was like this cocky guy.
Yeah.
I remember his name was Tom, because one of us asked him, it may have been me, but it probably wasn't, because I wouldn't ask somebody this. He was really cocky, talking about how great Small World was for some reason. And somebody asked him, so tell me, Tom, does that hat come with a lollipop?
Yes, it does.
In the ending episode of season one, when I'm talking to Miss Allison and Miss Christina, I detail my experience working stroller patrol, dressed in the Small World outfit, at me being close to 300 pounds. And
he's
looking
like
looking like Augustus Gloop. That is
out of the river, Augustus.
That's pretty much. The hat led me to.
And you parked a stroller, and then someone said, "Save some room for later."
Yeah. Can I ask you? You know, just on an unrelated note about the Willy Wonka thing. So he had the Wonka Vader.
Yeah.
And he had all the other Wonka things. Yeah. If he had gone with calling everything based on his other name. He would have had the Willy Vader, he would have had the Willy train, he would have had the Willy boat. Come, children, sit on my Willy boat! It would have been an entirely different movie if there had been...
The water park would be Wet Willy?
Yes, it would be the Wet Willy. So, because I think everyone really... Come have a Willy bar.
A Willy bar. Good thing he was a smart businessman.
He understood branding.
He had probably like a board meeting with some Oompa Loompas, and they said, he was like, we're ready to launch this thing. It's called the Willy Bar. Sir? sir? I think you should go with your last name. No, it's fine.
And he killed the Oompa Loompa.
They would have said that, because first of all, it was the only Oompa Loompa who didn't do it in song.
Right.
Because then,
he didn't belong there.
No, it didn't belong there at all.
Did they ever explain where the Oompa Loompas come from?
Not in the book.
In the book they do, and then in the Willy Wonka Gene Wilder movie, all they say is Loompa Land.
But in the recent Tim Burton one,
is he like
he
a
went
slave
there.
Owner? Does he like?
He saved them.
Yeah, he saved.
He said, oh, "Let you live in my factory, and I'll feed you. You just have to work for me." So it's
that's
more
what they
like
did,
indentured
like,
servants.
Yeah,
save them from the Wang Snozzles and the vermicious canids.
The horn.
Did he take them over on the Wonka Amistad?
Well, yeah. The Willy Amistad. Actually,
oh, Willy Amistad.
That was before he had the branding
mastership. Mm-hmm.
Well, and it's tough because the I'm going to segue again since we're coming up on Halloween. As a still slightly chubby, doughy white guy, who, you know, I am, because, come on, let's be honest here. There are few enough Halloween costumes that a guy of my stature and belly can do. When I was very heavy, I would just paint my body red and put on eyes and a mouth and be the Kool-Aid man.
Right.
But now that I've lost weight, it puts me into a different category.
You're now the Crystal Light man.
It is. Well, it's either a comic book guy from The Simpsons.
Right.
Which is not, you don't want women thinking of you in that regard. Or it's an Oompa Loompa.
Yeah.
Because you can pull that with a beard. And what I thought, and this would have been not
great.
Or Paul Giamatti.
Or yes.
He'd have to lose more hair.
Yeah, and it's funny because I get him confused with Danny DeVito's performance as the Penguin.
Okay,
yeah,
Batman
very
movie
similar.
Every time
very
it's
very
exactly
similar.
The same type of thing. But I actually came up. I thought this was the most brilliant Halloween costume idea for this year. Sadly, I wasn't able to do it this year. But I want someone to take this, run with it, and credit us.
There's still time.
I want a full adult size Boba Fett costume.
Okay,
from Star Wars, mm-hmm. as opposed to Boba Fett from. Schindler's List.
Right.
There was
a bounty in that movie, but it was very different.
Mutiny on the Bounty Hunter. That was a great movie as well. But I want the Boba Fett costume with the helmet, and I want a lot of fake gold bling, you know, chains and necklaces hanging on my neck, and a mohawk on top of the Boba Fett helmet.
Okay.
And I want to go as Mr. Boba T. I think that's the costume idea for the...
Takes 6 minutes to explain the costume. Yeah.
Thank you for joining us in the last episode of Tales from the Jungle Cruise.
That was just like my mime tour.
Yes,
yeah, it was. Same reaction.
Lots of quietness at the end of it. So,
driver, I wanted to get off the stop.
It's radio. No one saw that.
So, on the subject of Halloween.
On the subject of Halloween, we can go there
after Small World, Haunted Mansion.
Uh-huh. Oh. I remember. That's the first time I met you.
By the way,
you were in a mansion.
It took me 10 minutes to get to that mansion story for you. Aren't you glad
I
segued it?
Looking for a segue.
I was going in there.
Perfect.
They brought in segues after I left.
Yeah.
Any secrets of the haunted mansion that you wouldn't mind telling? Did you have any paranormal experiences working there? How long were you there?
I may still be there.
There's the unload ghost is the one that everyone talks about.
No,
unload ghost?
I had wonderful friends at the Haunted Mansion, but that was my least favorite attraction to work. Especially when you got stuck at unload. I mean, you guys talk about
just walking.
The skippers needing that social interaction. When we moved to CDS, the system where you were locked into a position for 25 or 30 minutes and you did nothing but that, does that get edited up?
What that I'm saying, prostitutes get locked into a position for 20 or 25 minutes on CDS?
Same.
Yeah, no, that will be edited out, trust me.
But as I walked along that unload belt,
you
can literally feel your brain turning into jelly.
Yeah.
And there was one day in particular, I remember walking along that unload belt going, I'm just going to leave now.
Yeah.
Because I can do so much more than this.
Yeah.
And then they trained me on
jungle. But you had great, great glutes.
It's true.
Yeah, I lost a few pounds.
Yeah, I lost a few pounds.
It's true. Oh, yeah.
Pale as a ghost, though.
Yeah.
Sure.
Everybody that works mansion.
Yeah.
Well, super the melatonin challenge.
Right.
Yeah.
Then monorail, jungle, tiki, space, and steep drinks.
That's a good variety.
That is.
That's a lot of it.
The whole circle tour.
I got to tell you, I was the happiest cast member in the park when I did half my week at jungle and the other half of the week on monorail.
Yeah.
The two roles were so completely different that it kept everything fresh, and then they landlocked, and, you know.
Yeah.
Now, do monorail drivers hate when the family comes up to ride with them?
No, not so much. Again, you like that social interaction.
Okay.
I will tell you a funny story about the monorail. The radio transmit button and the PA button are right next to each other on the console.
Okay.
And they look exactly the same. The Jungle Cruise skipper driving the monorail was telling my passengers, allegedly, about the fireworks schedule, the parade schedule, park operating hours, everything else. but my finger was on the radio transmit button. That went out to Theme Park One, security, the steam trains, everybody in the park.
Everyone who's got a radio on their
everybody
belt.
Everybody who's got a radio. And as I released the mic, people started responding to the radio call. Theme Park One copies, thank you for that. Parade One copies, thank you for that. Security One copies, thank you for that. Steam Trains copy, thank you for that.
Oh my gosh.
Great spiel. Thanks.
Yeah. Maybe so, they just thought you were a new thing. Like, you know, you have announcements at the beginning of the school day.
Yeah, no, they just thought I was an idiot.
Okay.
All right. Got it. That's pretty much how it goes.
But yeah. You know, everybody does that once.
Good career advancement.
I am stunned that nobody has, like, on their last day of monorail, just kept that sucker going.
Right. Not stopped?
Yeah. For like an hour and a half. Right?
Yeah, you know, I think that's one of those points where they would take it into a illegal area versus just... Silly. Jumping in the river, I mean, because it's the jeopardy and the, you know.
But then everybody's applauding as you come back into the station.
Yeah.
And you've got that horrible moment when you realize, God, there was like 2 minutes of dead air for all these passengers. And they have no idea when the fireworks are failed.
Yeah.
So we'll never see them.
Yeah. Now, I think Joey.
What is that?
Joey and Trevor and I, in our year of doing this, have all shared some of our favorite celebrity moments, people who we've gotten a chance to meet at the park. Do you have any interesting celebrity moments, Josh, that you want to share?
It was not on Jungle.
That's fine.
Okay. Steve Jobs.
Steve Jobs.
Really?
I was working at Small World. We were doing crowd control during the holiday season. And it was really dark out. You know, the music's going. I was just keeping pretty, you know, people moving and taking pictures of families and stuff in front of the thing. I got tapped on the shoulder, and this woman says, hey, would you take our picture? And I said, yeah. So I posed them up, and I took their picture, and I just walked away from the mic because I've never done this before. Anyway, so I take their picture, I hand them their camera back, and I keep going. It's dark, I don't know who it is. And I got tapped again, and it's the same way. She says, do you know who that was? I said, no, I'm sorry, I don't. It was that Steve Jobs. And I looked down and I said,
you're right.
He didn't have an escort or anything like that. It was really low-key. It was like 2000, 2001.
Yeah.
He wasn't Steve Jobs. He was just Steve Jobs.
Yeah.
He wasn't back at Apple.
Yeah. Why would the lady bother telling you that, though?
I think she was offended that I didn't immediately recognize him.
Weird.
Oh, wait, it was.
Was it his wife or something?
It was his wife.
Yeah.
And
do you know who that was? Yeah. That is my husband.
And I wasn't going to say she said it that way, but that's basically how she said it. And
she wore a baseball cap with a ponytail going out to the back.
No.
Just like him?
No.
A lot
of women who do that type of thing, they wear that.
So you can tell it was awkward for both of us. And I looked at Steve and I said, I'm a real fan of your work, sir. He kind of leaned forward like he was going to say thank you. And she kind of leaned in and said, you can shake his hand now.
Weird. Right? Who was this lady?
It was his wife. I presume it was his wife. I don't want to.
Sure, you don't know.
That was actually his robotic press agent.
Yeah.
Who would follow him around everywhere to make sure he was well known.
Anyway, he gives me this really sympathetic look, and I just kind of smile and extend my hand. We shook hands. And the look he gave me kind of said, oh, thank God, like, you're cool. All right.
Help me. Call the police.
And they turned around and they walked off, and then I realized, shoot, that was Steve Jobs. That was
weird, man.
Really, really cool.
Yeah.
I mean, it was
Chris. But at that point, he hadn't done the iPod yet.
No, he wasn't Steve Jobs.
Sorry,
he was just Steve Jobs at that point.
Yeah, okay.
No, he hadn't been brought back in
Apple. To Apple.
He was doing
it. Come out.
2000, 2001,
he's the Lisa.
Maybe that was Lisa who was with him.
Right.
He was starting to invest in Pixar by that point.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, there was Christina Aguilera at the Haunted Mansion.
Uh-huh.
I escorted them into the...
Heather Nelson may have actually told that story with...
You were her escort?
Wow.
Well, no.
Male escort?
This giant black guy was her escort.
Skinny or fat Christina Aguilera?
Okay.
Giant
nose. I mean, I just... I was standing there operating the room. I was standing there in the room, and all I wanted to do was reach out and pinch her nose. But this giant black guy looked like he could just snap my neck with two fingers.
Right.
I actually have had a fun run this morning. I met Ed O'Neill from Married with Children.
Really?
He was at my store, but I mean, he did
Modern Family.
Not much of a talk. It was more him and his security guard walking by, which was odd. But,
okay.
You know, one of the fun people I've had a chance to meet up at the farmer's market is Ellen Page from Juno. And
She seems like she would be...
She's super awesome.
Yeah.
And she's dating Clea DuVall, who was on Carnival. And they are, like, the most amazing people ever, and they come by and get gluten-free pasta. That's one of the nice things about the L.A. Farmers Market is you definitely have... There's Ray Romano comes by the market every once in a while. We see celebrities. We had Peter Weller from RoboCop was up there. He was doing press for Dexter when he was on Dexter a couple seasons ago. And he was up there...
Tom Hanks and family came through on a pretty regular
Hanks
basis.
Is great.
They were super cool.
You know, I got to give a shout-out. For anyone who doesn't know, one of my big influences for this show is Chris Hardwick's The Nerdist podcast. And I've had a chance to chat with Matt Myra on the show. He's come by the market a couple times, and we've talked, and I've made an ass of myself. But Matt is one of the coolest dudes that I've ever met and really respect everything they're doing with The Nerdist. They did an interview with Tom Hanks about a week and a half ago.
Really?
And I will tell you that it is not only one of the most entertaining hours or so of anything I've ever heard. If you are at all a Tom Hanks fan or want to hear...
A movie fan?
Yeah, just an anything fan. It's a chance they get to sit down with him that was just really unexpected. And it was one of the best, most entertaining... So not like they need my help with their 400,000 fans...
Let's get the word out on the Nerdists.
Yeah.
There's this thing called television.
They need our bump from all of our great things. So, anything else fun stories you want to throw out before we wrap up, Josh?
We're wrapping already.
Yeah, we're getting to that point because I've got a...
I'm not very entertaining anyways.
No, that's good.
Nah, it's all good. We just had a really nice honor as a podcast. And by the time this goes out with my track record... It'll be a couple months old, but the guys at Walt Disney World News Today, WDWNT, if you search that, you will come across issue 18 of their magazine, which was their September-October issue. They gave us a 6-page spread about the Tales from the Jungle Cruise and about myself and Trevor and Joey, a little bit about their podcast, some of the things we're doing, some of our history. They were very plain about putting out there that I want to get John Lasseter on the podcast to talk, and that'll be a not blue episode. That'll be a not explicit tag.
If John Lasseter comes on Europe, I'm going to make you agree to this on the podcast.
Okay.
I want to be allowed to ask him, what the hell is up with cars?
No.
At the end of the episode, you can get all your material, but I want to know what his thought process was behind all of these.
I
decisions.
Will make sure that I ask that question.
We'll just say,
if I'm allowed to,
off the record.
If I'm allowed to, we will.
What the hell's up with this?
Just see that. See the prior episode for all of our discussion about that.
Yeah.
So a really cool cat by the name of Daniel Butcher, who is just amazingly cool, got in touch with me by the email side of things. We did a great set of interviews by email. He put together a really great article where he really kind of summarized a little bit of my history at Jungle Cruise and what we were trying to do with the podcast. We have seen an insane amount of traffic on the Jungle Cruise podcast, a bump to Trevor and Joey's show, a little bit to our stalled Project Nerd 101, which we're still trying to get off the ground. I wanted to thank him personally and just say I really appreciated what he went through, and I'll get you a better picture next time because the one that's on there is terrible.
No, you look good.
It's okay.
You look very young.
It's okay.
I look young and virile.
I should have given him the one of me riding the rhino. That would have been
much better. Yeah.
Yeah. That was
very graphic, though.
Yeah. That would have secured. Well, usually you ride them from the top.
Yeah.
Right.
I was on the bottom. It was a very different picture.
It was a different Jungle Cruise.
Different Jungle Cruise. It was men.
Men
were men. Rhinos were rhinos.
Boys.
Good thing you weren't on fire. He would have trampled you to death.
Yeah. Other men riding.
So thanks to him. I'm going to do our regular kind of plug stuff so I don't have to do this in post-production. Trevor and Joey at your beautiful podcast can be found trevorandjoey.podbean.com.
You can go to joeyandtrevor.com now.
joeyandtrevor.com? Right. What? Wahong?
We're legit.
Wow, you have your own website. That's awesome. Can be found on iTunes if you search Joey and Trevor. If you search Skipcast on iTunes, as in Skipper Podcast, we can also be found there with Nerd 101 and Tales from the Jungle Cruise. And then on Facebook, facebook.com/Jungle Cruise, CREWS. Facebook is this wonderful invention. I expect it to do very well. I think it's going to be popular. I think they need to add some games. Something to pass the time while I'm searching all of my friends.
Something with a Ville at the end of it.
With a Ville, yeah. Yeah. Popeville. Yeah. You can be the Pope. You have to get all your friends to give you Pope credits and hat pins. But you too can be the Pope in Popeville.
No chicks.
So big thank you to everyone who supported us for the last year. If you have worked on the Jungle Cruise, either in Orlando or apparently there's not one in Paris. Who knew? But in Orlando, Hong Kong, or Anaheim, we would love to have you on the podcast. Just email us at junglecruise@gmail.com. We always enjoy the feedback. If we get any emails or letters, we promise to read them, perhaps on the podcast. I'm not going to guarantee that because that would be a stupid thing to do.
Well, you could always say we're going to, and you don't have to do it.
Yeah.
You can just say, oh, I forgot, it got edited out.
We say we update on Mondays.
That never happens.
Mondays in what?
We say a lot of things.
I said that this was a monthly schedule for this podcast, and there was that great 2-month gap in there. So, but anyway, guys, thanks again for coming and hanging out with us, Joey, Trevor, two of my favorite guys in this entire gazebo. Ow!
We're both thrusting.
I really am still hoping that we. I wanted the Jungle Cruise radio plays to do better. Because I really wanted to get a live version of it and for us to throw it out there. And so if you like the Jungle Cruise radio plays, it's not that I have had bad feedback on it. I've just had no feedback on it.
It's more anti-Semitic. Really.
It's anti-Semitic feedback.
It's like the mime tour.
It's a mime tour, yeah.
It's kind of odd.
It's a peanut butter tour of the...
Peanut butter and jelly.
So you take the peanut butter and you spread it on... All right, well, before we get run out of town by any security forces that may be in the area, thanks, everyone, from Tales from the Jungle Cruise. Have a great time out there in the Internet Adventure Lands and Kungaloosh.